Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be with you on the afternoon drive. And as we get closer to summer, we're getting closer to national sports, at least on the NBA level. That's been the big topic over the last couple of weeks, and now we have just more and more details emerging as we'll inch a little bit closer to the start of the season. I still have a couple of question marks regarding how things are going to work out. One of these questions I have, we'll talk about it a little bit later, the expanded rosters. Right, this has been a topic of discussion for quite some time. How many players would a team be able to carry? This is important for a couple of reasons. If a player tests positive for COVID-19, he's going to have to be away from the team from anywhere to 7 to 14 days. More than likely 10 to 14, but 7 on the short end. How do you replace that particular player when you were playing every other day? That's a big question, right? The NBA right now is in negotiations with the players' union to turn all two-way contracts into roster spots for the playoffs. So we're looking at about 17 players, 17 to 20 players teams will be able to take with them. I think that's incredibly important. I'll tell you another important aspect. How are these teams going to mesh? We'll talk about both of those ideas coming up on the show today. Also, we're going to be joined by Coach Willie Ellington of the Price American Legion baseball team. They were supposed to begin the season last week. Those games were canceled. This week's games have also been canceled. Price will not compete in the 2020 Legion season here in the state of Utah. We'll be joined by Coach Ellington next segment here on the show. He'll give us the details as to why they pulled the plug on the 2020 season. But we still have local baseball. Helper is going to compete, and that's who we'll follow throughout the summer. So that's coming up here on Drive Time Sports as well. Let's take a look at some of the national headlines, and we will be getting the NBA. The San Antonio Spurs are on the outside looking into the playoff picture, and after the news today, I've got to be honest with you, I really don't like their chances. LaMarcus Aldridge will be out for the season after he had to undergo right shoulder surgery. The team made this announcement today. Initially, Aldridge injured that shoulder during a game against Utah back on February 21st. He played in the Spurs' next game, and then he went on to miss the next six. He returned to San Antonio's win against Dallas the day before the NBA stopped. And the Spurs, again, they're one of the 22 teams that will participate in the regular season. Now, I've gotten this question a lot in regards to Bojan Bogdanović. Why did Bogey wait so long to receive wrist surgery, right? 2 months, the season's been stopped. Why are these guys waiting so long? Well, it's simple. You couldn't have those surgeries with the pandemic going on. It wasn't allowed. Selective surgery was not allowed. And so this falls in line with the Bojan Bogdanović injury as well. No LaMarcus Aldridge for the remainder of the season for the Spurs. It's a seven-time All-Star, averaged 19 points and 8 boards per game this year. And look, as far as Aldridge is concerned, this is a deal that hasn't necessarily worked out for San Antonio. It hasn't been horrible. But if you remember the hoopla, the free agency craze around LaMarcus Aldridge when he left Portland, he hasn't lived up to the expectation. Next year, $24 million. Should be fully cleared for basketball activities before the start of next training camp, but his season is effectively over, and I believe we get 8 games out of the San Antonio Spurs, and then their season is effectively over. Let's move away from the NBA, and we'll move back over to Major League Baseball. This is a reoccurring topic as well. Will we get a baseball season? Right now, we have billionaires fighting with millionaires. Those billionaires, the Major League Baseball owners, they proposed to the union a 76-game season, which was an improvement from their previous proposal of 50 games. Now, players and officials at the Players Association quickly scoffed at this proposal. And now, as far as the return from the season, we're no closer to getting baseball. It's that simple. And let me break down the logistics of this offering. The proposal from owners today gives players a potential earning of 75% of a prorated salary over a 76-game season. About $1.4 billion in total compensation. I get it, that sounds like an awful lot, but that's up to 75% in compensation for 76 games. If you do the math, owners are asking players to play 19 games without being paid. There's no way the players' union is going to accept that deal. And so for anyone that tells me that this proposal from the owners was a step in the right direction to get baseball, it really wasn't. We made no progress with this deal. And it gets even worse, because if for whatever reason the second wave of the coronavirus steps in and the league had to end the regular season and have no postseason, players would get 50% of their prorated contract. It's not going to happen. There's no way the players' union is going to accept this deal. Now, what the players want, they want a higher percentage of a prorated contract. They want to play more games. I understand why. They want to get paid. The owners, they're sticking to this deal that with no fans, they will lose money. And that wasn't the only caveat in this latest proposal. They would also get rid of direct draft pick compensation, which has hindered the market of free agents tagged with qualifying offers. And that could be worth tens of millions this past winter. And under this proposal, teams losing top free agents would reap a compensatory draft pick. But those signing the free agent would not be penalized by giving up a pick. So, again, that does affect the players in some regard moving into 2021. But there's just no movement as far as getting this season off and rolling. And again, the players' union quickly scoffed at this. There's a distrust between owners and the players' union in Major League Baseball. I mean, it's really that simple. Now, how can you build off of this proposal? 76-game season, let's say the owners or the players rebuttal with a 100-game season and maybe 85% of the prorated salaries. I could see something like that happening, but the owners have no desire to give a higher percentage than 75% of prorated salaries, at least up to this point in time. This is going to be a lingering issue. I had someone tell me today they would be surprised if there's not a deal made by the weekend. Nah, I would be surprised if a deal was made by the weekend. We will talk more Major League Baseball a little bit later on in the week. But I got to tell you, with each passing day, I'm really starting to think there will be no baseball this year. And that would be a huge, huge detriment to the sport. You think Major League Baseball lost a group of fans during the 94 strike? Today's a completely different day. We have sports on the rise here in this country. And baseball, which is America's pastime, and it's one of my favorite sports. I love baseball. Baseball is doing everything it can right now to modernize the game, to correlate or connect with a younger audience. This is doing baseball no favors whatsoever. And I'll tell you, it was a golden opportunity for this league to really showcase what it's all about. Right, because we don't have the NBA until late July. There's no football going on right now. There's no hockey. We don't have the NBA playoffs. So this was a perfect opportunity for Major League Baseball to be at the forefront of the sports world. And they have completely wasted that opportunity. And again, I just don't see a deal getting made because the owners, they're not really playing nice in the sandbox with the players' union. And again, all the optimism that was on Twitter and Facebook today, I just don't buy into it. We're going to talk more about this. We'll have a former player on the show later this week. Again, I don't believe we're getting baseball proof. This is a horrible, horrible proposal from the owners, and the players almost immediately scoffed at it. That's a quick look at what is happening in the national sports scene. Again, not a lot. Everything is geared around the NBA returning, Major League Baseball, and its inability for its commissioner to get on the same page as the players' union. And then, of course, LaMarcus Aldridge out for the season. That's what we're looking at right now as far as the national sports scene is concerned. We're going to talk local baseball in just a moment. And also, we'll talk NBA basketball and go over some questions about resuming play on July 31st. That's coming up on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports. Again, we are live from the Auto Farm Studios right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Now, This local Castle Country sports update with Jordan Buscarini from KOAL.
Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin with high school softball. This past Saturday, the 3A Invitational, known as the Corona Classic, was scheduled to take place at the Carbon County Softball Complex. Due to rain, the 10-team double elimination tournament was postponed. It will now take place this Friday and Saturday. With the rescheduling of the event, Emory will first take to the field Friday at 3 p.m. against North St. Pete. A win there for Emory means they will advance to the 8 p.m. contest to take on either San Juan, ALA, or Grand. Carbon will also take the field at 3 p.m. They'll be participating on field 4. A win for Carbon sends them to an 8 p.m. game against either Morgan, Summit Academy, or South Summit. A loss for either one of those teams will dip them into the one-loss bracket. And again, the tournament will continue through Saturday afternoon. The championship game is scheduled to take place at 8 p.m. And again, this will be at the Carbon County Softball Complex. Coming up this weekend in the Castle Country, the Millsite Golf Course will play host to one of the most unique golf tournaments in the Castle Country with Night Golf. This is a four-person scramble, and the cost is $60 per person. That does include your green fees and cart. Now, the tournament will start at dusk, and make sure you bring a flashlight. Each team will be presented four glow-in-the-dark balls. Additional balls will be available for purchase, and teams can also purchase mulligans. Again, this will be the Millsite Night Golf Tournament taking place this Friday at dusk. The cost is $60 per person or $240 per team. We stick with the diamond, but we move over to baseball. And tonight, the 17U Helper Squad will travel on the road to take on Salem Hills in a doubleheader, scheduled to begin at 4 and 6 p.m. This will be the first of what will be a very busy week for the Helper American Legion baseball team. Coming up on Wednesday, it'll be the opener of the Helper Tournament at 5:15. Helper will take on Union. Helper will then return to the field on Thursday as they go toe-to-toe with Tooele at 8 p.m. under the lights. And then again on Friday against Skyline under the lights. Saturday will be the final round of the tournament, making it a Wednesday through Saturday competition for Helper and all the other squads joining that include Salem Hills, Union, Tooele, and Skyline. After opening up the season last week against Team Utah, Helper was expected to return to the field tomorrow with a road contest against Salem Hills. That game has been postponed with the anticipation that the two teams will meet up at the Helper tournament later this week. This week on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we'll catch up with manager Dakota Cincinnatus to take a look at the upcoming busy schedule for Helper, which pretty much runs throughout the month of June before the state tournament in early July. Now we continue with Legion baseball. This year, Price will not field a team in Legion competition. We will be joined by manager Willie Ellington today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports. We'll talk about the future of the program as well as other items regarding Price American Legion baseball. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things. Play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
It's time for some baseball talk here on Drive Time Sports. Baseball season's off and rolling in the Castle Country area. We have the Carbon Cal Ripken going off. Of course, Emory is also competing in the Cal Ripken. And Babe Ruth is also off and rolling. And we've talked a little Helper American Legion baseball over the last couple of weeks. Helper will return later this week with the Helper Tournament as they'll welcome in five to six other teams to the Castle Country. Joining us right now to talk about that and more, we have Coach Willie Ellington of the Price American Legion baseball squad. And I know that things are a little bit different for Price this year, Coach. Unfortunately, there will be no Price American Legion season, but it's not all bad. You guys are planning on coming back next year.
Yeah, Jordan, once again, I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to come in and, you know, share some of the things that's going on with the Price American Legion Raptors. You know, Jordan, we started out, you know, with a real nice schedule and a great attitude to play. You know, we were all ready and everything, and then we got hit with the pandemic, you know, and things like that. So some of the kids that were wanting to come out and play after it was canceled got balled and some other things. So we've gotten there to bring it back, and then some of the kids that were already hooked up had other commitments, thought, well, they were just going to continue that, and we'll see what we can do next year, you know. But I just want to thank all the folks out there that's sponsors that really stayed behind us this year, and were helping us to move forward with the Price American Regional Raptors baseball team. And many of them told me, well, Willie, we'll do it. We'll be there. You just use whatever you need to use for next year. So we're still going to be committed to next year, next season.
That's a great thing, because you definitely offer another opportunity for kids to play. And you and I were talking off of the cuff. That's what the Price Legion team is all about, right? It's just another opportunity for kids to get out and play some baseball in the summer.
Yeah, you know, Jordan, I really like the idea that, you know, going out and watching some summer ball, you know, and it's always a joy to go out and watch Carbon High School baseball, you know, the Helper American Legion tournament. You know, it's always good to be involved in them programs. But I always like the fact, you know, that giving the kids another opportunity to just want to come out, you know, and have some fun, enjoy the youth and play baseball. You know, last year, we had a tough road last year. You know, I don't think we won a game. Well, the last game we were supposed to play Hillcrest, and we got that game on a forfeit, you know. So the kids really, but then they played Springville. They played seven teams. They played some really good ball, just a couple of runs away from, you know, having a victory. You know, so it wasn't all bad, you know. So we can just look back at those and try to help that to encourage us to move forward for next season.
Yeah, Coach, how did the COVID-19 pandemic, how did that affect everything as far as the Price Legion season is concerned? Because I know you guys were getting ready for your fundraiser dinner, and then everything just completely came to a stop, right? And that probably didn't help matters any.
No, it sure didn't help anything. Well, actually, it kind of put the damper on all of it, because we thought, well, the season was going to end because we'd received the information from the national headquarters that, you know, everything is canceled for 2020. So went ahead and just stopped everything. We had it, everything set up for advertising in the papers, and had the kids all signed up and fired up and ready to play. And then called them back and said, well, there's not going to be any season. And like I said, a lot of them said, well, they had other commitments. And so the pandemic, you know, really put a damper on things. And I just like to pray for all those people that are suffering with that pandemic too, you know, and with all the merchants in the area and everything, all the pressure we had. So I just want to thank them for the support they've still given us. But it really hit us pretty hard.
Yeah, Coach, I know you do have a number of kids that you would expect to be back next season. The one thing about American Legion is eligibility is always a crucial thing, because when it's gone, it's gone, right? And so with you guys playing in the 17U, it's not as lenient as, say, the 19U. A kid can be out of high school and he can still come back and play Legion ball. When you look at the roster this year to what you expect to come back next year, still a pretty good number of kids that you expect?
Yes, you know, the kids that I'm expecting at least seven or eight of them that still want to come back next year. You know, and then talking to some of the coaches there in the Babe Ruth, like right now, I think there's a lot of 15-year-olds that are going to be coming up out of there next year. So I just still hope that they'll realize that they still have an opportunity to participate with American Legion Baseball.
Another difficulty was going to be no home games, right? I mean, that's always something that's difficult to work around. I know right now with things going on here in the local area, we didn't necessarily have a field available for the Price Legion squad. So every single game that you guys were going to play was going to be on the road. That's a lot of travel, and it is a condensed schedule on top of it. I mean, the season ends July 1st, and so, I mean, we're talking about constant road trips for 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, you know, Jordan, and that's one of the things that really hit me in the heart and in my mind, because I just want to thank the Lord over the years that, you know, through all the travel, we really haven't had no accidents and things like that. I believe we had one, but there was no injuries, and so I'm thankful for that. But I was kind of bothered by that, you know, traveling, you know, 3 days a week, you know, over the hill or whatever, and then again not having the home field here to participate, because the fields are basically still kind of under construction. And then they had guidelines, you know, to participate, you know, and things like that. So it kind of put a little, put a little pressure on things, you know. But I respect the situation that we're in, because, you know, it's a real thing. People are dying.
Again, Coach Willie Ellington of the Price American Legion baseball team joining us right now. Again, no Price American Legion baseball season this year. Coach, is there anything else you would like to add?
Yeah, I just want to let the kids know I need to repeat that. That next year, you know, we'll still be there, out there for you to have an opportunity to come out and play American League of Baseball. In the time now, I've had some kids that come and told me, you know, they want to build a team. We're going to start over again. So if you want to play between now and next year, my phone number is 637-7483, and, you know, we'll just work on it, you know. And I'd like to tell all the teams out there participating, good luck and be careful in your travels. Thank you.
Coach, I always appreciate you taking out the time to come in. I know we'll be talking again relatively soon. 2021 will be here before we know it, and then it'll be Legion Bowl again. So thank you again for taking out the time to stop by today.
Okay, thank you, Jordan. Yeah, I look at some of these kids, and like I was telling you a little bit ago, you know, next thing you know, they're out of high school and they're gone. Yep. So I tell the kids, come on out, enjoy your youth, and good luck.
We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We're going to move over and talk national. Let's talk NBA basketball. We're going to be joined by Jameson Welsh, our Drive Time Sports NBA insider. We'll talk about resuming the season when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
Yeah, what's up? This is Middle World Peace, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios, right here on 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. Monday, we always talk NBA basketball, and we always do it with our Drive Time Sports NBA insider, Jameson Welsh, who is joining us over the phone right now. Jameson's joined us over the course of the last couple of months when there hasn't really been anything but speculation to talk about. Now we have a concrete plan. We know the league is going to return on July 31st. We know the 22 teams that will be traveling to Orlando, and we know the format of the remainder of the season. Jameson, as always, it's a pleasure to get you on. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me as always. Definitely appreciate it.
I want to start by first tipping my hat to Adam Silver. And I've done this over the last 2 weeks, week and a half, and I don't think we could do it enough. With all this uncertainty, right, you can say whatever you want about Adam Silver. We can talk about the four major sport commissioners, be it Bettman, Manfred, Silver, and Goodell. There's no question nobody has the faith, the trust, and the relationship with the players in the league the way Adam Silver does, and that's why we're preparing to get back to NBA basketball here in the next 4 to 5 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that he has learned from David Stern. Like, David Stern didn't have the same relationship with the players that, you know, he does at this time. You know, that's the situation. So when I look at everything as a whole, Adam Silver is able to get everybody on the same page very quickly. He's able to listen to players, but also read the room, see, hey, what needs to be done? How can we keep this thing going? Working with David Stern, he saw two work stoppages. He saw a work stoppage in 99, saw one in 2011, and that's something that you want to avoid if at all possible. So it's a thing that, hey, you look at something, you see something, you try to avoid it, and he's done stuff for the most part.
Yeah, and again, we have to point out that the idea of just scrapping the season and moving on, obviously that creates a lot of difficulties moving forward from a financial standpoint. You take a look at ESPN and the television rights, it's $481 million. I mean, a lot of money between ESPN and the NBA, and that's the reason why. That's, in my mind, that's the main reason why we're going to Orlando to finish out the season. But just going beyond that, for the better good of the sport, this has to happen, right? I know there was talk maybe, what, 3-4 weeks ago, LeBron came out and addressed the idea that there were players that just wanted to scrap the season. For the better good of the game, you have to continue forward. Even if there is an asterisk next to this moving forward for the next 20, 30, 40 years, it doesn't matter. For the better good of the game, you have to move it forward. And that's what Adam Silver and the Players Union as well, they have been able to agree to get this moving in the right direction.
That, but also it's a situation where financially, I think that's the biggest thing, money-wise. If you're not able to finish off the season, it's a disaster financially for the NBA and future contracts going forward and the salary cap. Being able to finish off the season is really good. It may not, it's going to be a hit. We know the salary cap is going to be impacted. With that being said, we do know that you know, going forward, at least, hey, you're able to finish out the season and regroup, figure out all the numbers, and then go forward with next year's cap, then you got something. But right now, it's monumental that the season is finished, and also those eight games for those 22 teams, if I'm not mistaken, helps with the local TV deals to fulfill the obligations of that. So that's a really big situation that's going on right now. So I definitely understand what's going on, why they had to finish or attempt to finish the season.
Yeah, and again, bringing back 22 teams, it was the right number. It was the right call. And as far as the format, the possibility of getting a play-in game between the 8 and 9 seeds, everything that has kind of come to fruition, it's stuff that we have talked about for a little while. I mean, nothing is sacred anymore. Obviously, everyone was trying to get the big scoop, and some of this news actually did leak. But Jameis said it's all the right call. I don't have an issue with any of it.
Nah, I mean, I'm just glad we're getting NBA basketball back. I mean, it's a situation where, you know, a lot of different storylines going on, a lot of different things were happening during this season. And to be able to get basketball back is a major thing, because there was a time where it was not looking good. There was a time where the whole testing and all that stuff was looking very, very questionable about what was going on. So it is a good thing to see that they are working towards something to hopefully get something done. So we're in a pretty good shape right now. It's just trying to see what's going to happen from here and what takes place next.
Yeah, but it has to be done in the right way, right? Because, again, going back to the baseball conversation, a 50-game season doesn't really do it for me. At that point in time, you might as well not even play, because there's so many variables that have to be considered when you're talking a baseball season in regards to a basketball season. So it has to be done the right way. I really believe that that's something that you can't overstate, doing it the right way, and the league has done it up to this point.
Yeah, I mean, that, and also I just think that there's a common goal situation. You know, both the owners and the players both want to come back and play. Everyone wants to get a resolution to the situation, and that's always key, because not every sport is like that. Sometimes you have a situation where people are on different pages, and that gets very ugly. You know, when people are not on the same page, when there's mixed messages going on, that's when things can become very, very difficult in terms of getting a deal done or being on the same page.
Let's talk about some of the questions regarding the remainder of the season. And again, we're being joined right now by Jameson Welsh, our Drive Time Sports NBA insider. You and I just a minute ago had a conversation off of the cuff. We were talking about the biggest question marks in returning for the final 22 teams. For me, it was roster expansion, because you have to expand rosters. There's no way around it. You have to prepare for the idea that there is a very strong possibility that someone along the line will test positive for COVID-19. And when that happens, you're going to have a major roster reduction. You have to plan for this kind of stuff. And Jameson, the league is going to expand these rosters anywhere from 17 to 20 men. And as you pointed out to me, all two-way contracts are going to be converted into actual contracts. These players will be eligible to play over the course of the 8 games plus the playoffs in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, that the roster thing's going to be interesting. I mean, the Lakers, hypothetical Lakers have like all the roster spots filled with Deion Waiters coming aboard. So there's not a whole lot of flexibility they have, but all the guys are going to be needed, because you just don't know the wear and tear that's going to be on the bodies when you're playing every other night for 2 months. You know, if you're a good team, you're expected to be playing until October. So if you need to have, you know, guys play, you know, you have your full roster, you're going to need contributors. Guys are going to have sprains and aches and have to sit out and all that good stuff. So when that happens, you're going to have guys that can come in and put some work in if necessary. So it's going to be very interesting to see what exactly happens. But I'm going to be very curious to see how coaches actually manage their rosters, because look at a situation like Houston. They play 8 guys at most, you know, 7 or 8 guys. They don't go deep into their bench. So does that change now since this is going on, or does Mike D'Antoni in the final year of a deal go down swinging his philosophy? It's a major thing to look out for.
I don't think Mike D'Antoni is capable of change at this stage in his coaching career, and I know I'm difficult. I'm very hard on Mike D'Antoni when it comes to his coaching style. I'm just not a fan of it. You know, taking it one step further, when you look at Houston, not having size, right? I don't want to make this a conversation about the Rockets, but Daryl Morey throws everything out the window when he trades Clint Capella. This is a completely different team. It's a completely different unit than what we have ever seen in the NBA. And I know there were question marks about the Rockets over the course of an actual NBA season being able to maintain without that size down low. If you have to play every other night with the lack of size they have, this could be a disaster for the Houston Rockets. Really, when I look at the Western Conference, it's the one team that to me is the biggest wild card right now.
Yeah, I mean, the whole no size thing is very weird to me. You got to have size in basketball. I mean, even with the game going small ball, you got to have some guys on the bench just in case you get a certain matchup, you want to be able to at least compete at a certain level. So to me, that's always been kind of odd. However, we're going to see. You know, we are going to see how this thing goes. You know, I just think that over a period of time, if you're playing games on every other day basis, you're playing your eight games and you go to the playoffs, there's not going to be a whole lot of breaks between games in the playoffs. They're pretty much be going, there's going to be games every day until the season's over, or until the finals anyway. You're going to need to have a lot of depth. That's going to be the key thing. You don't want to overwork guys in a short amount of time. So, yeah, I really think you're going to see, you know, the teams that aren't good on depth, you're going to see that reflect immediately.
And then, of course, there's the idea of trying to regroup, put everything together for eight games, and then jumping into the playoffs. And really, eight games is not a whole lot. Now, Jameson, I know that team chemistry over the course of the first 60, 63 games, however many it was for a variety of different teams, team chemistry was obviously important. And you would like to think that some of these guys have been in constant contact. I don't know what it's looked like since team facilities have started opening. But the fact of the matter is, these guys haven't played in 2 months, and now you got to get back out there. You got to immediately have that team chemistry. And that's going to be an interesting topic as well, something fun to watch.
I'll put it this way: the good teams, the teams that are smart and able to figure things out, have been working out. They've been having their own secret practices, no social media, none of that stuff. I believe that the teams that are in contention have something to play for. They've been figuring out how to have their own play around practices. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, and look, you'll be able to tell. You'll definitely be able to tell once things get off and rolling. Not to talk about the team in L.A., you know, a little bit too much, but when you look at the Lakers, that was one of the things that so many people had pointed out throughout the year. They have great team chemistry. Same could be said for the Milwaukee Bucks. Same could be said for the Toronto Raptors. I think you're going to see a noticeable difference between those teams immediately. Other teams may catch up, but immediately out of the gate, you're going to notice a difference from those three teams compared to all the rest.
That, but also, like, here's the thing people have to understand. Like, these guys have resources. So when you have resources, you're able to do things that the common person cannot do, which means you're able to find private gyms. You're able to tell people, hey, non-disclosure, you can't take any pictures, you can't take any videos. So if there is something that's going on, you know, that's just what it is.
When you look at the other team in L.A., the Los Angeles Clippers, it was a team that did struggle with chemistry at times, but now load management becomes a factor. It could be a positive, it could be a pro, it could be a con. So when you look at the way that Doc Rivers handled load management for this Clipper team, now that we're getting ready to resume and we know what it looks like from here on out, is that a good thing or a bad thing, the way Doc Rivers handled that throughout the regular season?
I mean, Doc Rivers is one of the better coaches in this league. He's a very good with personalities and knowing how to handle his team. He's a people person. So he knows what works and what does not work for the players. He's all for the players. So I'm going to leave that for him. You know, that's something where he knows that best. I don't think that this is a bad situation. I just think that he can read the room with his guys. So I think it's a good situation. However, I mean, he's had a lot of different situations because, you know, guys have had injuries the whole season. Like, Paul George has really never been healthy. He may be the most healthiest he's ever been. So we'll see how that goes. But, no, I think he's done a good job, everything considered.
You mentioned health, and I know Kevin Durant's not going to return, which would have been extremely interesting had we saw Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving out on the court for the Brooklyn Nets after not playing for an entire season. That would have been a really weird dynamic, a different variable to throw into the equation. But when you look at health, who did the two-month layoff help the most?
Philly. Gave them a chance to regroup, and because their guys have been banged up the whole year at different stages. So this gave them a chance to kind of regroup and get everyone healthy for a stretch run. They've never been a great regular season team, but the playoffs, that's where they're kind of built for because they can present a lot of different matchup problems to different teams. Even though they're sixth in the conference right now, there's not a team that they can't beat. Like, if you told me they messed with Milwaukee, not saying they'd be favored versus Milwaukee, but they can give Milwaukee problems. Same thing with they own Boston. Like, Boston cannot beat them. Like, that's just a bad matchup for Boston. They can beat Miami, they can beat Toronto. So there's just certain matchups that, you know, they're a team that has, their talent can overwhelm you, especially when healthy. Now, the pieces don't all fit, but the talent is there, and the talent is very motivated because they know guys are pretty smart. We know that if you got three guys on max deals or on big deals, if you don't make out the first round or if you don't, you know, perform, somebody's going to be out of there sooner than later. And we kind of know what's going to happen with Philly. So it would not surprise me to see Philly make some noise out east once this thing gets resolved.
We'll end with this, because you mentioned Boston and Philly being a bad matchup, and we had looked over the bracket if it was just 1 through 16 with no conferences, and there was a real gauntlet for both the Clippers and the Celtics to really overcome if they were going to march through a 1 through 16 bracket. Changes things up a little bit now since it's East versus West. Are you a fan of the East versus West, or would you have preferred a 1 through 16? I mean, I've made it abundantly clear on this show, 1 through 8, East versus West is the way I believe it should always be, but I'm curious to your thoughts.
Well, personally, I would like to see 1 through 16 now, especially in a one arena setting, because there's no travel involved. You don't have to worry about teams, man. You don't have to worry about a Portland playing in Boston where it's like 3,500 miles or whatever it shakes out to be if it's a playoff series. You don't have to worry about that where it's like a 7-hour flight each way. That's not the case. If it's in a one building, one arena situation, I would like to see something different, especially in this year where there's so much going on. I really think that the NBA is open to all changes. They're talking about play-in tournaments, mid-season tournaments. Eventually, we are going to get 1 through 16. It seems like we're going to get to that one way or another. So it just might as well accelerate that process in a season where so much stuff has happened. I think this was the time to try to go for anything that you were thinking of. You might as well try it in a season like this. However, I don't mind the 1 through 8 in both conferences. It doesn't mind me. However, at the end of the day, I would like to see the best 16 teams have at it in the league. So if you got two teams in the West, like, for instance, all those years in the West where we've seen, like, 47 win teams not make the playoffs, I'd rather see those teams have a chance to compete rather than a team with 37 wins in the East end. That's my thing.
Yeah, and if you were going to try something, this would have been the year to do it. But I know there's some other variables you have to consider as well, such as scheduling, right? That matters, the fact that we have played 65-whatever games over the since October, and we've had teams from the West beating up on teams from the West, teams from the East beating up on teams from the East. So I get it. But I do agree, this would have been a great year to at least try a quick run just to see what it was going to play out like. Jamison Welsh, again, our guest as we talk NBA basketball. Jamison, I always appreciate the time. Thank you so much. I know we'll catch up again relatively soon.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me as always. Definitely appreciate it.
Again, follow Jamison on Twitter at TheJamison, and he'll join us again next week as we talk more NBA basketball. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
The NFL running back situation. It's always a storyline, isn't it? We're back on Drive Time Sports. Jordan Buscarini. I'm going to bring in Travis Anderson to help close out this edition of the show. If you're unaware, some breaking news. Adam Schefter of ESPN reporting that Dalvin Cook, Pro Bowl Minnesota Vikings running back, will no longer participate in any team-related activities until he receives what he determines to be, quote, a reasonable deal. He is out until the Vikings restructure his contract. Your initial thoughts?
Running backs in the NFL are drama queens, aren't they? They continue to bring the drama. I know that Dalvin Cook is one of the top running backs in the league, and we go through this every year with players, but more certainly it's running backs that they want paid, and then they say they're not going to show up and play until their contract situation's taken care of.
Yeah, I think the reason why we see it more with running backs than any other position...
Shelf life?
It's shelf life. It absolutely is. Okay, Cook's 24 years old right now. Just by the logic of averages in the NFL, he's got one contract, one big contract in him. That's it for the length. We're talking about a 4 to 5 year deal, and that's it. You have that one time as a running back. You don't get that as a quarterback. You get multiple. Same thing could be said for a wide receiver. Same thing could be said for a left tackle. So if you're just looking at the offensive side of the ball, shelf life is so limited. But my question is, what's a reasonable offer? Now, reports are saying he wants David Johnson money. David Johnson's making $13 million a season. And when I look at the running back pay list for next year, number one is Christian McCaffrey, who just signed a massive deal, $16 million. Ezekiel Elliott is second at $15 million. Le'Veon Bell is at 3 at $13.1 million. David Johnson is at 4 at $13 million. Then there's that big drop-off with Derrick Henry making 10, Kenyon Drake making 8, Melvin Gordon making 8. And again, going back to what Dalvin Cook has accomplished, I mean, he had 13 rushing touchdowns last season. Pro Football Focus ranked him number 3 in running backs during the 2019 season. I think you can make the case for a $10 million deal. I don't think the Vikings bite to give him 13. I don't think it happens.
Well, he has no leverage, for one. So
no, he doesn't have any leverage.
So,
no.
Yeah, like you said, PFF ranked him a third. But there's a ton of running backs in the league that are on one-year deals. So he has no leverage, and the Vikings really don't have to pay him, and I don't see them paying him the money that he wants.
Yeah, it's 1 year, $1.3 million, I think, is what he's going to make next season. It's $1.3 million. That's what he has left on his contract. To put this in perspective, the Vikings have already proven they're going to invest their money into Kirk Cousins. Right or wrong, that's what they're going to do. He had 1 year left on his deal, sends a contract extension. He's going to make something like $30 million per season. That hampers the idea of paying Dalvin Cook. Now, as you mentioned, one-year deal, scrap that. It's not a one-year deal. It's technically a three-year deal. And that's where the NFL differs from any other contract in professional sports, right? In the NBA, when you hit restricted free agency or unrestricted free agency, you at least have the option to move on. Right, so say Donovan Mitchell, when his contract runs out with the Utah Jazz, he's a restricted free agent because he's coming off of that rookie deal. Well, the Jazz can match any other offer that he signs. So you have control over that contract. Now, when we talk about Dalvin Cook, 1 year at $1.3 million left, the Vikings can use the franchise tag on him twice.
Yes, they can.
So he's really under control for the next 3 years. Do I believe Dalvin Cook is worth more than $1.3 million? Yes, I absolutely believe he's worth more than $1.3 million. But in a league where the market for a running back right now is completely in the toilet outside of Christian McCaffrey and Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, again, I pointed this out. Le'Veon Bell, $13.1 million. I know you're a Jets guy.
That's a terrible contract.
Yeah, I'm not being harsh. You're not being harsh when you say that. It didn't work out. It has not worked out. I don't think it will work out. Right, Adam Gase has already been extremely vocal in saying that if he could move on from that deal, he all but said if he could move on from that deal, he would.
Yeah, and eventually I think this is Le'Veon Bell's last season with the Jets.
I do too. Yeah.
And then, you know, next offseason, they'll cut ties. So the contract was bad, and you just can't pay running backs that sort of money in today's game. It just doesn't work that way. You got to invest in the quarterback and build around that, and defensively as well. And you see how the Rams have done it with, you know, Aaron Donald and, you know, Jared Goff.
Well, you can use the Rams as an example of paying a running back, and it didn't work out. A lot of dead cap space around the Todd Gurley deal, right? But again, you have another running back that's going to be, I'm not going to say he's out of the league, but he's going to have a new home after this season. That's David Johnson with the Houston Texans. I mean, $13 million, the Texans make a trade for him that was mind-boggling at best. But David Johnson's not worth $13 million. He's not going to play out that contract for the Texans, I guarantee it. Derrick Henry, we're talking about a franchise tag. Okay, so in today's world, there's no market that is more shaky in professional sports than the running backs. And the reason being, deals like Todd Gurley, deals like David Johnson did not work out. Le'Veon Bell does not look good right now. And so you need someone to reset the market. And we've had this conversation on this show before. The running back market has gone up and down. It's gone up and down. There for a while, you were seeing running backs selected in the top five. That went away. The Rams selected Gurley 10th overall. It was kind of a shocker at that time. It wasn't sexy to draft a running back in the first round. The next year, the Cowboys draft Ezekiel Elliott. Then you start to see it again, right? Saquon Barkley goes number 2. I think we're out of that now.
I think we're past it. Yeah.
Just look at this past NFL draft, right? We had a lot of quality running backs that dropped significantly down the draft board because the market is in the toilet right now. So again, I get it. Dalvin Cook wants to be paid. I would have no problem with him making that $10 million range. But look, holdouts didn't work out last year for Melvin Gordon either.
No, it didn't. It really affected his team, and not only his team, but himself.
Him, yeah.
Yeah, it really did. So holding out is, you know, not the key to all success.
No, it's definitely not. And instead of Melvin Gordon playing for a team like the Los Angeles Chargers, who they have Austin Eckler, it was a nice compliment, he's now with the Denver Broncos, who have a stacked backfield. And he's making $8 million a season. Right, so he bet on himself, It didn't work out. When he finally came back a month into the season, he wasn't ready. He wasn't in game shape, and he had a great compliment. So I'm curious to see. He had a great compliment with him in Austin Ekeler, I was saying. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see how long this lasts or if the Vikings bite. They need Dalvin Cook. Like, don't get it twisted. This guy ran for over 1,100 yards last year. They need Dalvin Cook, but they're not going to break the bank to pay him.
No, they need him, like you said. That's a 9-7 team without him. 8-8.
I agree. I agree. A lot of money wrapped up to Kirk Cousins. Out of time on this edition of the show. Again, I want to thank Coach Willie Ellington for taking out the time to join us. You can get more on the Price American Legion baseball team by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. And it's always great to catch up with Jameson Welsh as we talk NBA basketball. Now on the show tomorrow, we're going to talk Helper American Legion baseball. They're going to be in action Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday here in the Castle Country area. So that'll be on tap on tomorrow's show. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.